When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Today on the Grave Talks, we continue our conversation about the history and the hauntings of the James J. Eldred House with Seth McGee and Chad Gobb. I would imagine when you first decided to start to keeping the house around, you know, because it's going to need work, you're going to have to raise money and put money into it. I would think it wasn't like as the board sat around, they're like, hey, paranormal investigations will bring in some money. Or did you?
No. Yeah. It was actually completely an accident. Complete, you know, serendipity, is that what they call it?
Yeah.
We were at an event at another property in Greene County that someone was trying to save, and a ghost hunter showed up there and was talking about how he could possibly do some fundraisers for this property by doing these ghost hunts, and the property owner wasn't interested. They didn't want anything to do with it. And I was like, huh. I was like, are you just interested in old buildings? Or, you know, like, you know, I was kind of feeling it.
What's the requirements?
Right. Just, you know, how do you know if there's a ghost?
He's like, go in it.
This man was like, well, why don't we do something I've always wanted to do? He says, let's do a ghost hunting 101 where we teach people how to hunt ghosts. So then, and we'll figure out if it's haunted or not. Then we'll bring all the equipment. We'll teach people how to do it. At this time, this is early in the restoration. There's no front porch on the house. The front porch is gone. And it's a, I don't know, Chad.
That's four or five foot.
It's four or 5 feet from the ground level up to the front door. And so they're in the back part of the house, and they're all sitting there in like a classroom style and chairs. And, you know, he's standing up at the front, and there's another board member there. I'm not there. And she, who is the biggest skeptic that you would ever, ever want to meet. She's like, well, someone's knocking on the front door. And he's like, well, how did they even get to the front door? And so she goes up to the front, and you know, you can still open the front door. She goes up there, and there's no one there.
There's no porch.
And everyone was there who had registered for the class. So they that ended up becoming like a residual thing that happened anytime that there was that they were doing something. The ghost hunters were doing something in the back room of the house, and the front door was shut. They would hear someone knocking on the front door. It's never happened when I was there. Oddly enough, everyone else has experienced that. I have not. But a residual haunt.
I love that it happened to a skeptic. Oh, yes. There's someone at the door. Because that's how real that stuff can be, you know? It's like you hear someone knocking at the door. And there's no porch, so there's nobody at the door.
Right.
But for a minute, you know, it's like, oh, I got to go see. And then it's like, wait, that was ridiculous. It can't happen.
Right. Yeah. There's no way anyone got up to that porch. To knock on that door. There was no way.
So what year was it that this happened when you started doing like the teaching the ghost hunting and all that?
I'm going to say 2005 or 2006.
See, that's way before a lot of places started doing this. Mm-hmm. So you guys are very forward thinking. Because
we were lucky. I think we were lucky that we met him, and he conducted, I can't tell you, 4 or 5 like ghost hunt events there a year for probably 15 years, and they would sell out every time, and they would, you know, and people would come from all over the country to do it. It seemed to be endless. Like there was an endless supply of people that would want to come and or to revisit multiple times. And then of course, you know, things kind of slowed down in 2020 with COVID.
Right.
And I think every site, every place had that kind of, everyone was scared to leave their homes and they were scared to spend money.
Have you found that there's been kind of a resurgence in interest into the paranormal in the last few years? Because it just seems really popular with a lot of YouTubers and shows, and people just seem interested in it.
It does feel that way. And, you know, by all means, Chad, jump in because you're the one who...
We've had a couple of YouTubers who've come out there and filmed, which was pretty neat. Long before I was involved, you had Illinois Times. Haunted Times. I knew there was a Times in there. Haunted Times actually featured the house and photos of the Native American running across the front yard, wasn't it?
And there was it was on My Ghost Story on A&E.
There we go.
Because obviously there would be some Native American history on that land.
A substantial amount has been.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's one of the things we can't put in like a septic system too easily out there because it's most likely a burial ground for lots of, you know, centuries of people. So
right. So there has been sightings. Is that kind of a common thing that people see a Native American running across the front yard? Or
I never have. I know Seth has not.
There's been a lot of stories about hearing drums.
Yes.
Lots of drum stories.
Yeah. And I've talked to a few people that have seen something that they believe was the Native American, but I have never seen it. And when I've been there with a group or anything, it has not happened, but people from the past have told me stories of it. So
I want to see the picture. Is it on your Facebook page? If I go back far enough?
I don't
know who that one is.
No, I don't believe it is either.
We should probably put that one on there one of these days.
Yeah.
Because we have the magazine somewhere still, so in the archives.
I would love to see that. Do you think that, or is there any evidence or people have got EVPs or something? Do you think Mr. Eldred is still kind of around?
There's definitely some activity. EMF readers have just gone off the chart. You know, people are just walking with them and boom, they just light up like there's no tomorrow in a house with no electricity.
True.
You know, there have been voices recorded. Just last year, we had a team that came out that hadn't been there in like 10 years. And I was sitting on the porch while they were doing their investigation. And when they left, they couldn't have been smiling more. And I'm like, so do you guys have some experience? Like, you didn't hear that deep voice? And I'm like, no. I'm like, I was just chilling out here. And they're like, we'll send you the audio. So they sent me the audio and they picked up multiple voices in different rooms, but there was a very deep voice and it was near the front parlor. So my guess is, you know, a total guess that may or may not have been Mr. Eldred. But there's also a little child's voice upstairs in the nursery, which that one has been picked up multiple times by different groups over the years. But
and that could be his
just
little
this
girl.
Last fall. They were very excited about it. And it was neat to see that they were having such a good time and that they were able to pick stuff up.
Now, over the years, have you been able to get the house into pretty good shape? So when you do go investigate, it's pretty comfortable?
Well, there's, you know, no air conditioning, no heat.
Yeah, so right now, let's just say it would be a little cold.
Cold would be an understatement. It's like, oh, it's freezing outside, but it's 20 degrees colder in the house. That limestone holds that cold in, but in the summer it holds the heat. It is all stabilized. The whole first floor, everybody can go around where they want. Second floor, people can. The third floor, the attic, is limited where they can go around. And they can have full access to the basement. So they can do their full investigation wherever they like, which is nice, without worrying about it. Because I know early in their investigative time period, they're not all the stabilization had taken place, and there were sections that were not allowed to go into and stuff because of the danger, but that part has been taken care of.
Have you had investigators comment on the fact that this is a limestone building? Because that's, you know, a lot of people think that is definitely a conduit to paranormal activity.
I've heard a few different groups that have talked to me about it. One was 2 years ago. They had a team that investigated all over. There's like, I think there were eight in their group. And when there was kind of a lull in the activity, because it definitely goes through phases in that house, it seems like when you hit around 11, everybody goes to bed. So up until then, it's like, holy crap, look at this, look at this. And then about 11, like, things start to shut down. But we're sitting there at the dining room table. And yeah, they had brought up that they said in every house they've been to that was all limestone, the activity has just been so much more.
Because they say limestone and water, and there's water nearby as well, right?
Yes.
So it just seems like it would be a hot spot for paranormal activity.
Oh, that's, yes, I've had a few experiences out there, but just the different groups and the things that they have picked up on camera, picked up on audio especially, and I can't remember the full name of it, but like the necrometer, that speaker, the neck that's supposed to be able to speak to the, you know, hear from the dead. Five different versions of that have all brought up different things, which has been surprisingly at different times. Questions being asked and like almost direct answers, which were a little disturbing.
Which would be interesting.
The speaker's full name is. I'm sorry?
I think it would be interesting because, you know, these people who come and investigate, they don't know each other necessarily. You know, they might be there 1 week. This group comes in another week. And if they're getting similar answers to things and picking up similar things, that would be quite compelling.
Yes. Yeah, there's a lot of groups that have never interacted that share similar stories and experiences.
Now, have you both had experiences in the house?
I have. The one that stands out the most was 2 years ago, that group that we were sitting around the table. But before that, it was maybe midnight, and I'm talking to one of the gentlemen on the back porch, and there are some orbs in the woods, and he's pointing those out to me. And we hear somebody walk out of the kitchen, and he and I both turn to see who it is, and there's nobody there. Now, he swore he saw the lower half of a person walk by. I did not see that, but I did hear footsteps, which was like, whoa, and there was nobody there. And the other people were actually on the other side of the house or in the front yards. There was nobody in that section.
Mm.
That one got my blood going. I was like, okay.
And as you're sitting there watching orbs in the forest, in the wooded area, which would be like, what's that?
Right.
That would be a really weird feeling because you're focusing on that, which you can't really explain that. And then somebody walks up behind you.
Right. That's like, what it was. Somebody was just walking right behind and just thought it was another member of their team. And it was like, whoa, there's nobody here.
And do you get quite a few people kind of, I would guess a lot of groups come in and they get a lot of activity?
Yeah, I mean, most groups that have been there, I don't know of a single group that didn't have some sort of experience of one way or the other. But at different times, you definitely get much more activity.
Which makes sense. I would think different times of the year, even different. Yeah, I think there would be a lot of things that would factor into activity and the people who are there. You know, what kind of energy are they bringing in with them?
The more excited and laughing people are and having a good time, that seems to bring a lot out of energy from the house. So,
because it makes them happy because somebody's there enjoying their house. Maybe.
Right, exactly.
Have you found that the money that you're raising through these investigations, that makes a difference, right, in keeping the house going and repairs being made?
Oh, yes. 100% of the money that we raise goes back to the house. We had some damage, but a big storm 2 years ago, so that maintained it, took care of that part. We've been slowly adding lights in the house to make it safer and, you know, easier for everybody to see and everything. We've been trying to restore some of the areas, but always comes back to priority is making sure the house is secure, mm-hmm. make sure the house is safe and protected from the elements. And the third floor is always on the list of people to, to fix up, but that also seems to be where the most activity, the most unexplained, like very large orbs floating. I've not seen these, but multiple groups have seen them. Multiple orbs, large orbs moving through the third floor, which is kind of unique.
Mm-hmm.
And there's these beautiful windows that overlook the landscape and everything up there, and people are always looking out them. But when you're on the ground, I have been on the ground looking up there, and you do see weird things going by the windows when you're outside looking up the three stories. But I've never been up there when those orbs or whatever they are in the room itself.
You know, and it's interesting, a lot of those houses, you know, at some point, especially like in Illinois, when it was built, would have been maybe used as a hospital at some point, a Civil War hospital at some point. You know, a lot of them have been used for various things over the years. And this was primarily a residence. And,
But they would hold big balls there where they would have people come from all over to, you know, dance and celebrate for the night and socialize and all that. So they liked having a lot of activity.
So they probably appreciate having the people in there.
Correct.
Because it just seems like it would have to be, whatever's going on there has to be associated with the Eldred family. Because it's not like it has a lot of other history. Well, and the Native American history as well. That makes sense for the orbs in the forest that you're seeing.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. Potentially.
It's just so interesting. So do you close down in the winter months for tours because it's just too cold?
Yes. Yeah, it gets bitterly cold. We typically end with a Halloween event. We've been 3 years now. And we open it up. It's so normally we just do private investigations for different groups and stuff. But on our Halloween event, we open it up to the public so people can buy a ticket. They go and get an experience, and we move them from the history room, which Seth tends to take care of. And then last year we had a medium who was there that was amazing, and she was in what we call in the office. And then in the basement, we had a ghost hunting team that was showing people how the equipment works and everything. And then on the second floor, we had another ghost hunter who would show them the nursery where Alma tends to make herself known if she wants to. That's the 4-year-old who had passed away. And one of the YouTube teams had been up there, and that's where they had gotten most of their activity. So people that have seen their broadcast wanted to, you know, see that second floor. So they had like four different stations, roughly 30 to 40 minutes each station. So they kind of got an experience of, hey, this is the house, this is the history, this is what we're trying to do. And then this is the activity here. Here are some neat equipment for, you know, you can buy your own and do your own investigations type of stuff. I mean, we don't sell it there, but, you know, they're promoting people to explore if they're interested. And we had people from Chicago, Indianapolis, St. Louis, and then, of course, all across Illinois.
Yeah.
That literally have driven 5 to 7 hours to come there for our Halloween event.
It would be so cool. It would be, that just sounds like such a great event.
Yeah, it's fun, and, you know, people check out our Facebook page to stay up on top of that, and then we, if they want to do private investigations, we coordinate that. We always have one of our either board members or one of our volunteers will be there to show people around the house and, you know, get them settled and go from there for their investigations.
And, you know,
the Halloween event was definitely Seth's brainchild. He won't take credit for it, but he deserves that. And that's our big fundraiser for the year that helps with a lot of the maintenance for the house over the year. And then the private ones help us be able to do the additional things that we're slowly starting to be able to do on the house. So, because, you know, you take one step forward and it's 7 steps back with a, you know, 250-year-old house. So
what I find interesting is Illinois and Iowa, you could plan a paranormal vacation, and there's so many different places you could go that would be fascinating. And
definitely,
there's so many in Illinois. There's so many in Iowa. You know, little Alton, Illinois, which you mentioned that, that's a very haunted little town. You know, there's just so many locations. And, you know, if you're looking for a fun vacation, just go to these little towns and explore some of these places. I think it would be so fun. Because I've already,
contact us.
Yeah.
As we've been, because as we've been talking, I was like, okay, where is that in relationship to where my sister lives? And it's a little over two hours away. And so I'm like, I could do that next summer. And you do historical tours as well sometimes, or is it just paranormal?
I'll work around whatever the person's really interested in. Generally, the people have just asked for like the brief history of the house, and then they want to do their paranormal. Our big focus is kind of like, this is your experience. What are you wanting? Mm-hmm. Do you want to hear stories? Do you not? Do you just want to do your own thing? So we try to tailor that to them and what they're looking for.
Because some people don't want any information.
Correct. And that's why, that's when I do them or other board members do. The first thing we say is, do you want to know what other people have experienced or not? Do you want to know the history or not? And you tell them that's what we do. And that's what we go with.
Because I see both sides of that. I see why someone would want it, and I see why someone wouldn't.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. Now, like, we had a group of young people there 2 years ago. It was like somebody's like 21st birthday, and they had, I don't know, 10 of their friends, and they didn't know anything about ghost hunting or anything. And I happened to have a couple of the EMF readers with them. And after they got their tour and asked all their questions, they were kind of just like staring at me like, now what? And it's like, okay, here, do this. And then for the next 2 or 3 hours, they were just having a blast because they're like, and they would be like waving to me or come over to me like, Chad, look, I got this reading over here and I got this. And I'm like, yeah, that's awesome. I'm like, this is, they had a great time, which was what we want. So
I just love that you're keeping this house going, because so often they're not, and they just sit there and just fall apart slowly. You know, the elements just take over. What is the best way for someone to get some information? Is that website or Facebook? Is that the best?
The Facebook one is what we are using now. It seems to be the best because they can message us if they have individual questions. We do have to probably get a little more on top of posting updated stuff on there, but all of our volunteers either have their own businesses or work for other things. So, you know, time's a little limited on that. So, but the Facebook is definitely the way to reach out to us.
And just, and I'll put a link to the Facebook page on the show notes, but just search James J. Eldred House. Is it James J.?
Historic site. Yes.
Yeah. So I'll put a link on the show notes, but super easy to find. You. And all the information's right there and how to contact you guys.
We appreciate that. Thank you. Because any little bit helps us to restore the place. So.
Absolutely. I can't wait to come see it for myself sometime.
That'd be great.
But thank you, Chad and Seth. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me about it. It was really interesting.
Well, thank you so much for reaching out to us and for making this happen.
Yes.
And that wraps up our conversation about the history and hauntings of the James J. Eldred House. For more information on the house or paranormal investigations, visit their Facebook page. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, then you can become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts, where you can try it for 3 days free, or you could also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you very much for listening.